And now it's my pleasure to introduce our visiting speaker for his first discourse of the day. Brother Tim Armstrong has chosen as his subject, Growing Up into Christ. Growing Up into Christ. Brother Tim.
Thank you, Brother Joe. Thank you, Brother Gregor Lunas. And good morning, brethren. Sister Lois and I certainly rejoice to be with you this weekend. Actually, the Lord permitted us to arrive a few days early and begin our blessings early. We've had time to visit the press. Brother George was kind enough to come up and show us around, and we just had no idea what was involved there, and we appreciated that very much. And we enjoyed your Thursday night study. You know, when you get 19 brethren together, that's our whole class, which very rarely gets together that much anymore. There's some that just can't make it out now. So we appreciated that, and the study was good in the sixth volume. We certainly did appreciate that as well. And, of course, being with our family has a whole set of blessings altogether of itself. You'll excuse me if I look like I'm ready to go on a job site. These glasses are the ones that seem to be working the best for me right now. Unfortunately, I'm having a little trouble with my eyes, but if you'll bear with me. We do want to bring you the Christian love from your brethren in the Wilmington Chesapeake City Ecclesia. And many sent personal greetings. Actually, we talked to Sister June McNatt on the phone this morning on the way up, and she reiterated again, so we give her special love to you. And also, Brother Brian and Sister Robin Armstrong wanted their special love given to you. I know they both have a place in your heart, and especially Sister Robin's been out here many times, and she wanted hugs for everybody. Growing up into Christ. What does it mean to grow up into Christ? Even the title itself is an indicator. Says growing up. It has an elevating thought to it. Something that is developing from what it was to something greater. A maturing effect. And certainly the scriptures bear that out. In Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, we have both concepts there. We have milk for the babes, and then we have the stronger meat for those who are maturing. Our Christian life is sometimes spoken of as a walk in the narrow way, a narrow way of sacrifice. Sometimes it's spoken of as followers of Jesus, sitting at his feet and learning of him. Sometimes it's likened to a school, the school of Christ. This is just the thought that Brother Russell expresses in reprint 2439, where he says, this school of Christ may be considered a school of self-denial, self-sacrifice, prompted by love, and maintained by devotion. Our great teacher and headmaster, our elder brother, whom the Father appointed to this position, as instructor of those who would become his brethren, Romans 8:29, he humbled himself. He was educated and graduated from this school under the Father's direction. We are informed in Hebrews 5:8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Now, Brother Russell had mentioned that this school is one of self-denial and self-sacrifice. We would like to turn to Matthew 16:24, for Jesus' words on the subject. Jesus had just rebuked the Apostle Peter with a "Get thee behind me, Satan," for Jesus had just spoken to his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and to be killed, and would be raised the third day. And Peter's answer was not God's view, but man's view. And then Jesus goes on in the 24th verse of the 16th chapter, speaking as to what kind of life his disciples would follow. Where he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. If that rings in your ears, familiarity, it was manna text for January the 21st. And certainly for a further lesson, reprint 26:15 would bring that to you. Now the thought that was given earlier, that our self-denial and sacrifice would be prompted, not prodded, but prompted by love, the Father's love for us. To prompt is to move or to urge into action, or to inspire by suggestion or by example. It's quite different than prodding, isn't it? Or to provoke, as in Hebrews 10:24. And we know that word provoke there is Strong's 3948, which has the thought of incitement to good. We'd like to read those two verses, Hebrews 10:24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. So we are prompted reminded of the unsurpassing love of the Father and His Son, and our love for them, for calling us from darkness and inviting us to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Then for us in turn to prompt or to provoke our brethren into love and to good works, especially as we see the day. Brethren, there is definitely a sense of urgency here, is there not? And it reminds us so much of 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, where it's spoken of about the God, Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And in those expressions, it tells us that the lesson there is not that we receive something unto ourselves and hold on to it, but that we are able to use it. The comfort that we receive of God in the experiences that we go through, we are able to pass that on and to comfort one another as we see others going through similar or even different experiences where we might be a help to them. And we also read earlier where this is to be prompted and to be maintained by devotion. You know, it's one thing to attain to a position, is it not? And it's a good thing, and we need to do that. But once we attain to that, we need to maintain that. And that certainly is where the struggle comes in. And we appreciated the devotional service this morning because it spoke directly to that, did it not? About how we can maintain that position. For we know that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The devotion that we have, our loyalty to our Heavenly Father, to our Lord Jesus. We must stay motivated. You know, one of the most difficult things is day in and day out is to stay motivated to continue to keep our sacrifice upon the altar until it is fully consumed. This setting apart to consecration to sacrifice must be maintained. In reprint 24:39, there was another thought given by the pastor there. In joining the Lord through faith and consecration, we are not proclaiming ourselves as graduate and heirs, but we are proclaiming ourselves to be students, disciples, who desire to be prepared to inherit the things which God hath in reservation for those that love Him as Paul said to us in 1 Corinthians 2:9. Now again, the Apostle Paul spoke to us in Galatians 3:11, where he reminds us that the just shall live by faith. And we all know that our faith in the Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus, as it grows and develops, will allow us to trust God increasingly with every detail of our life. Unquote. That's quite a statement, isn't it? To be able to trust God with every detail of our life. Can we do that right from the beginning? I doubt it. Can we do it better as we progress in the narrow way? Let's hope so. Will we be able to do it completely on this side of the veil? Probably not, but we'll be a lot better at trusting Him with every detail as we grow and develop and as He proves Himself to us time and time again. We would like to suggest an outline in a word, a one-word outline that will help us be directed towards the new creature's development. The word that we would like to suggest is the word growth, G-R-O-W-T-H. A handy reminder of 6 daily steps that are absolutely necessary to our progress in the school of Christ. It is a broad outline. There will be opportunities for you to plug in additional scriptures and reprints and thoughts. We know that there are many allurements to entice us from the narrow way. And we know that it's necessary for us to maintain and to progress and to keep our mind focused upon these things that we might be overcomers. Now, each letter of this word, growth, will suggest a word or a phrase of activity. You will notice that they will be action words. They will require action or activity on our part. You know, we hear that term today quite often, to be proactive. You know, Bible students, Christians, consecrated Christians, have learned to be proactive. They need to be proactive to grow and to develop. And so we'd like to use, for the letter G, the thought of go to God daily in prayer. We know the phrase that if we are too busy to pray, then we are too busy. We know that we should begin the day with prayer, and we should end the day with prayer. And of course, many times throughout the day, there are opportunities for prayer as well. To be instant in prayer, to pray always. Sister Laura Jacobson from our class came in one day to the meeting, and she had this paper that was part of a newsletter that comes to her at the apartment building, the retirement building she lives in. And they publish it, I think, monthly. And there was a section in there that she thought might be interesting. And somebody had written up a little presentation on the armor of God. And so as we talked about that, and one brother said, well, I use that thought every morning when I get up. He said, I have the thought of the putting on each piece of the armor before I begin the day. And he said, it's very helpful to me. And so the armor, which includes the thought of also praying. So go to God in prayer. For the second letter R, we'd like to suggest to read and study the Word of God daily, and to read and study the volumes as well, especially where they might not be a part of an ecclesia study. For the letter O, we would like to suggest obey God's commands, moment by moment. We know that that is our goal and that we want to maintain that. In 1 John 2:5, we find the words there, whoso keepeth his word in him is the love of God perfected. Jesus illustrated perfection of obedience when he said, I come to do thy will, O God. Everything written in the book, everything that was God's will at whatever cost. Only Jesus' great love for the Father permitted him to do this and to do it moment by moment. For the letter W, we'd like to suggest the word witness or the activity witness. To witness to God by our proper character development, our love growing in us for him, the Christ-like character. You know, Pilate asked Jesus, said, "What is truth?" And the Apostle Peter suggests that we should be willing and ready to give an answer to whoever should ask for the hope that we have. And so we can witness to many the truth. Many are still asking that question today. What is truth? Now the letter T, we'd like to suggest the word trust. Trust God with our lives. The more we find this saying to be more and more applicable to us, it says, the more we depend on God, the more dependable we find that he is. The more we depend upon him, the more dependable we find that he is. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we are reminded that we should trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. And for the letter H, we'd like to suggest the Holy Spirit. To allow the Spirit of God to control and empower our daily lives. In Ephesians 1, 19 and 20, we read, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." That's a mighty power. That is the same power that is made on behalf or exercised on behalf of God's children. And so we have the strength of that power available to us. Now, with the remaining time that we have, we would like to elaborate on each one of these points and fill in a few more details, but certainly still leaving you opportunity to fill in details yourself. We are reminded in Daniel 6:10 that Daniel prayed three times with his windows open towards Jerusalem. And we know that that's been the subject of many discourses, and even the title, "Are Your Windows Open Towards Jerusalem?" And how important it is for us to go to God in prayer daily. In the closing hours of Jesus' life and ministry, in his instructions to his disciples about this communication link between them and the Father, he said in John 14:13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And again in John 16:24, neither have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, for your joy may be full. Now we know there are many other scriptures that speak concerning Jesus' prayer and Jesus' praying as an example to his disciples. And we know that they came to him and asked Jesus to teach them to pray. Now if we add to these instructions Jesus' prayer in John 17, where he is praying for himself, but he's also praying for his disciples, and yes, even us down at the end of the gospel age. And then again, we add his caution in the garden for the disciples' need to watch and pray. And the lesson for us also is the need to watch and pray, to see the importance of faithfulness in prayer. Brother Russell, in an article, The Privilege and Power of Prayer, remarks that to the thoughtful, appreciative mind, one of the greatest privileges which the Word of God offers is that of personal audience and communion with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we consider how great is our God and how exalted his station, how wonderful is the condescension that thus regards our low estate, unquote. He goes on to describe God's vast domain and qualities of his character, which even widen the gap between God's position and ours. For a further lesson, we would recommend reprint 1864. Then we have the beautiful Psalm 139 that shows us that there is no place, there is no situation or condition that we could be that God would not be there, that God would not hear our cry for assistance, or that God would not hear our praises to him. And those praises should go up often, shouldn't they? And repeatedly, for the blessings that he provides for us, for the evidence that he gives to us of his going with us. The illustration of the lilies of the field this morning is a wonderful illustration. And how much more does God provide for those who are his children? Jesus does remind us, though, there is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What are we to pray for? In Luke 11:13, we are encouraged to pray for the Holy Spirit. In reprint 4780, paragraph 2, we quote, if the Lord's consecrated people could be brought to the point where the chief aim in life, the burden of all their prayers, would be that they might have a larger measure of the Spirit of the Lord. What a blessing that would mean. Why in particular would that be a blessing? Well, it certainly applies that if we are asking for a greater measure of God's Spirit, that we are trying our very best to use the measure that he has already provided for us. And so it would imply a measure of faithfulness on our part. In Hebrews 4:16, a very familiar text, let us therefore come boldly or confidently unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What greater time do we need the application of this verse than when before the throne of grace, seeking forgiveness for our sins, for our failures, for not doing the things that we should do and for doing the things that we should not? We've always appreciated periodically when we hear brethren offering a prayer from the podium and including that thought, thanking God for this throne of grace that we can go to receive forgiveness as well as to receive strength and encouragement. And then we are to pray for our brethren, as spoken of in Colossians 1:9-12. We're just going to give that as a reference. But also Ephesians 6:18, where we are praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It takes time to pray, doesn't it? It takes time to set aside to pray for all the saints. Now, we know we can't pray for all the saints. We can in a general way. But there are many specifics that we can also pray for and remember. And some brethren actually write down a little list so that they won't forget some important events taking place in brethren's lives. Whether it's experiences of joy and happiness, we rejoice together. Whether it's experiences of difficulties of one sort or another. As Brother Joe pointed out earlier, sufficient the day is the evil thereof. If we have no specific mention of a situation in a brother or sister's life, we know that the day itself is going to provide enough opportunity to hold them up before the throne of grace. In reprint 2692, there is a list of four ways that we might benefit from a daily, consistent prayer life. James 1:17 points out to us that God is constant. God does not change. He is where there is no variableness nor shadow cast by turning. We need to try to develop that same constancy. We will never arrive at it perfectly, but the more that we strive for something, even though we can't measure up fully to that goal, we will be a lot further along than if we did not strive at all. The four benefits are also found in the manna for July 24th. Isn't it amazing, that little manna book, how often we can use it? You know, some Christian groups, and there's a benefit to it, but some Christian groups use different kinds of devotional books, and every year it's a different book. But what is so much of a blessing by having the manna book, and of course the songs in the night as well, that we can use them over and over and over, repeatedly, year after year, that we almost begin to memorize some of them, don't we? So we know where they are. Oh, I'm in need of that help right now. I know where I can turn, or even the index in the back that we can look them up. And then when we hear manna text quoted in discourses periodically, then we come across that manna text later on throughout the year. It helps us to recall to mind the blessing that was intended. The scripture for that day is from James 5:16, where it says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The four points are, one, prayer increases confidence in the Lord's supervision of our affairs. The second point is, prayer increases faith in the precious promises. These precious promises cannot be emphasized too much, can they? They're found, recording or the encouragement by Peter is found in 2 Peter 1:4. But it talks about those great and exceeding precious promises to do what? To help us attain unto the divine nature. That's how important they are. And that's why in the front of the little precious promise book, the brethren have included that thought, those many thoughts there by the pastor of how important they are and how much we should make them our own. We are not going to consider six other points, but just give you a reference for them because they are just as important. But in reprint 4983, we find six other points of consideration that show us how God instituted prayer for our benefit, for our comfort, for our instruction. So we would offer those to you as well. The next letter that we would look at is R. Again, read the Word of God daily. Acts 17:11, where we quote from reprint 24, reprint 15:24. The Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether these things be so. And it was the constant effort of the apostles to show that the gospel which they proclaimed was the very same gospel expressed by the ancient prophets. In 1 Peter 1, 10 to 12, we'd like to offer those verses, but in reading just the 12th verse for our lesson, unto whom it was declared that not unto themselves, but unto us, the body of Christ, they did minister the things now reported unto you by them, the apostles, that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. It was that same gospel which Jesus brought to light. And through it, he brought life and immortality to light. Paul, in another place, said, I show you a mystery. There are still mysteries being taught today, are there not, brethren? We would think by this time perhaps the mystery of that doctrine of that Trinity would be a little more available and understood, but it's still there. It's still being held on to as a difference between how we understand God and the Son and how others do. The words of Brother Gene Burns keep ringing in my ears from his booklet, The Doctrine of Christ. They don't have the Father and the Son. We have both the Father and the Son. And the more you think about that, the more precious that thought becomes. And it is also one of the three that Brother Russell mentions, the three items that was put forth in the Evangelical Alliance in the cleansing of the sanctuary study that would always keep the cleansed sanctuary class separate from the host or the mass of believers. And when you think about your witnessing efforts, very seldom can we get into a witnessing experience, especially on a one-to-one, where you do not speak to somebody about one, two, or all three of those doctrines. The other two were natural immortality of the soul and certainly eternal torment. As the Bereans of old were faithful in their reading and studying, so we want to be as well. Studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now there's a problem that arises with us, is there not? If we could just put it in here once, and then not have to worry about it, we'd be all set. But the scriptures indicate, and we verify that, do we not, that we are leaky vessels, and we need to keep replenished. For a while, I worked in a photo lab, well, for many years, in one of our processes, and it's not unlike other processes, chemical processes, where you continue to put material through the chemicals. And if you don't replenish that process on a daily or an hourly basis, pretty soon the product that comes out this end does not resemble the photograph that somebody took, wherever it might be. And so there were elaborate processes whereby you used densitometers and measured the test strips, and so that you would have the result, the repeatable results every time. Well, it's very similar, isn't it? We have to keep replenishing ourselves with God's word, or we will grow weak. We will grow frail. We might not forget completely, but we'll only be remembering partially. So we want to do what we can to replenish. And as Brother Joe mentioned in the devotional this morning, this is a new year. And of course, we can have a new beginning whenever we want. But it is a time to make resolves. And that is one of the resolves that we could make. That we would be more determined. We'd be more put forth a more determined effort to keep in review God's Word. God's plan is brought to us and helped us to be understood by those seven volumes, including Tabernacle Shadows. To understand the Scriptures and the doctrines that are so precious to us. The ransom, the thought of the two salvations, the understanding of the nation of Israel, especially at this time. Brethren, you can't go anywhere else and have an understanding of those precious truths. And I know you know that. These are reminders. We're not saying anything to you this morning that you do not already know. But just as a reminder to keep those things forefront in our mind. In reprint 2662, Brother Russell points out that Bible reading, how indispensable Bible reading is to us. So the thought of indispensableness of Bible reading, 2662. No matter how faithful, we can always do better. Some do much better. And with some of us, there's a lot of room for an improvement. And so we need to make the effort as best we can. We need to move along quickly. I see the chairman coming up. The next letter is obedience. In John 14:21, we read that he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. We see there's two parts there, he that hath and he that keepeth. And so we need to do both. And we also see that the word commandments is plural. Now, this is different from the new commandment that Jesus had just given to his disciples, although it certainly would include that thought as well. Brother Russell suggests that it would include the general teachings of Jesus as they bear on all the affairs of life. And if we add to Jesus' inspired words those of the apostle and prophets, we will have the divine plan not only expressed to us, but also explained to us. And we will have it illustrated to us. And we will have it enforced to us, line upon line, precept upon precept. Brother Russell remarks in reprint 1802, it is not enough to simply resolve or determine to do right or to obey God. Unless we go further and actually make advancement in character, we will prove to be failures. And so we need to use these lessons as an advancement and to put them into practice. The fourth letter is W for witness. In John 18:37, Jesus' words should find a place in our hearts when he spoke, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." In reprint 2470, it was our Lord's faithfulness to the truth that brought upon him the opposition to those who were blinded by the adversary. It was his witness to the truth that cost him his life. And it was the giving of his life in defense of the truth that constituted our ransom price. Unquote. We as his followers are also to bear witness to the truth. And a few things were spoken of earlier, of those things that we can bear witness to. But essentially to God's character and to his plan. How much God's character is maligned in the world today when we still hear that doctrine of eternal torment, not only just being preached, but actually being held on to and supported so strongly that people would rather see somebody who did not believe when they said they should believe and exactly the way they said they should believe are going to be cast into eternal torment. There was a interview we heard on the radio coming out here. An atheist was being interviewed. And it had to do with bus posters in Canada. And the bus posters had quotes of the scriptures, of Jesus' words. And the atheists did not take exception to those, but it was when they got on the website of that Christian group and found out that this doctrine of eternal torment was what was being taught there. That the only way you have an opportunity is by believing this now and believing what we're saying, or else, as far as we're concerned, that's what you're going to do. Your end result is eternal torment. And so that was an exception that was being taken by the group. And so we know we don't understand that either, so we would speak against that as we would have opportunity, and certainly the brethren's information that they have to present certainly bears witness to that. There was a brother who got a booklet called What Say the Scriptures Concerning Hell. Actually, he wasn't a brother in the strictest sense of the word when he received that booklet. After he received it, we had a letter from him saying, I've heard God's love and God is vengeance back and forth. He said, I could never bring those two things together until I read the booklet on What Say the Scriptures Concerning Hell. Brethren, we've lost the battle with time. We would just like to encourage you to use each one of these letters as an outline for your daily life, your daily Christian life, to help you grow and develop more and more that Christ-like character, that we might all arrive at that desired end. And we'd like to quote in closing, reprint 3199, a quote from there, where it says, to be really in the Lord's service involves, first, the cheerful and continual study of God's plan, second, the imbibing of its spirit, leading thirdly to an enthusiastic zeal for its accomplishment, and to activity to the extent of ability in its service at whatever cost or sacrifice it might require. And yes, that's a manna text also for May the 2nd. May the Lord add his blessing. For May the 2nd. May the Lord add his blessing.